Like many folks, I've been thinking about Queen Elizabeth this week and last week. I mean, you know, with her passing and her funeral last Monday. And, you know, I've never been what you'd call a royalist, or I was never overly interested in the royal family or anything like that. But, you know, as I've been thinking about her, I have to say, I do admire the way she handled herself in her lifetime. In the midst of all the crazy world events that happened during her reign, and even more so as the crazy stuff, the scandals that went down in her own personal family, she was always very honorable and dignified, wouldn't you say? So I've been thinking about the fishbowl life she led. Every single thing she and her family did or said, the reporters and the paparazzi would be all over it, broadcasting it to the nations. But that goes with the territory, right? If you're going to be the queen, people are going to be watching you, right? Well, likewise, as Christians, we too are on display. Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Well, I'll tell you, if you're a Christian, whether you realize it or not, you are being watched. Everything you do, everything you say. Why do you think there'd be such scrutiny on Christians? Well, I think it's because the unbelieving world wants justification for rejecting Christ, for not being Christians. I think we all want to be justified in choosing to live the way we live. And we're always looking for evidence to justify our life choices, right? So if an unbeliever can justify rejecting Christ because Christians are so judgmental, or so narrow-minded, or so homophobic, so dishonest in business, or bad tippers, come on, then they're going to feel righteous and good about their decision to reject Christ. So, to be sure, we Christians are being watched, and our conduct will either cause people to reject Christ or to actually attract them to want to know Christ. So let's not fool ourselves that we're living these nice little anonymous lives. No. What we do matters. It matters very much. So, as we're continuing along in our series in 1 Peter, we're going to find out what God wants us to show the unbelieving world that's watching us. The passage we're going to look at today is focused on this very issue. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, 11 to 17. 1 Peter 2, 11 to 17, and I'm reading it out of the NIV. Now, the NIV gives a title to this little section of scripture, and the title is Living Godly Lives in a Pagan Society. Now, just like the people that Peter was addressing back in 62 or 63 AD, Christians who had been scattered due to persecution all throughout modern-day Turkey. That's who he was addressing. Christians scattered in modern-day Turkey. We Christians, too, are scattered throughout a pagan society. There might just be one or two Christians in your workplace. Might just be one or two Christians in your classroom. Might just be one or two Christians on your street. We're just sprinkled throughout a very pagan society. So what Peter had to say to those believers in the first century applies very directly to us in Canada in 2022. Let's read what Peter had to say. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your souls. live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. Now, before we get into the meat of our passage, I want you to see the heart behind this exhortation. It's given in an attitude of love. The NIV translated the Greek agapetos as dear friends. And you know what? I think that's a little lukewarm. The ESV and other translations translate it as beloved, which emphasizes the depth of emotion, which is love. In fact, it's the very same word that was used when Jesus was being baptized, and a voice from heaven, God, said, "This is my son whom I love." So Peter is addressing these Christians as people he loves, just like God loves Jesus. That's the deepest, strongest love imaginable. So Peter is not speaking as the head of the church, handing down religious laws in an impersonal way. No. He genuinely cared for these believers, and his exhortation was for their well-being, as well as for the spreading of the gospel and the well-being of mankind. Peter was caring for the church he loved and for humanity. So I want you to hear it in that same way. You are loved, deeply loved by God. And this is what he wants you to hear and obey for your good and for the good of mankind. Peter then addresses the church as foreigners and exiles. And we've spent a little time talking about that in the last few weeks because Peter mentions it three times in this short book. Our identity, he said, is we are the people of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession. And you know what? That makes us aliens in the world. Sometimes it's really hard to grasp that concept because we were all physically born on this earth, so of course we feel like citizens of the earth, right? But the day that we became believers in Jesus Christ, our passport changed. We became citizens of heaven. So we are no longer like the rest of the world. We're different. As I said a few weeks ago, we're weirdos. Get used to it. We're different. I want you to own that. Own it. Be comfortable with that. We are different. I want you to wear that identity every day as you walk about in your life. I want you to wear the identity that you are set apart. You're different. We are not like most people on the planet. We're not attached to the things of the earth. We don't belong here. Heaven is our true home. We're merely sojourners here, just passing through. And that gives us a whole different perspective. The world and everything in it loses its importance to us. Our heart is on things above. We're part of God's kingdom. Now, because of our new identity, We are not to be dominated by sinful desires. Okay, in other translations, sinful desires is translated as fleshly lusts, sensual urges, bodily passions, evil pleasures, and worldly desires. Now, please don't think that Peter is saying to abstain from worldly pleasures. He is not. God has given us all manner of worldly pleasures for our enjoyment. And do you know what? God is delighted when you are delighted by his gifts. Good food, good music, art, even good sex. These are gifts from God, and we're free to enjoy them within the parameters of God's will. It's when our pleasure turns into lust that it becomes evil. Eating good food can turn into the sin of gluttony. Drinking good wine can turn into alcoholism. Godly sex can become perverted and become sexual sin. Pretty much every single human pleasure can be morphed into sin. Even an innocuous hobby can turn in to the sin of neglecting God or neglecting your family. So Peter is telling us to be self-controlled. Abstain from sinful desires. Okay, maybe right now you're thinking, okay, I'm busted. I have an area I struggle with. You know what? You are not alone. Can I get an amen from my CR friends? Amen, right? You're not alone, so don't feel condemned. But get motivated to get over it, to get victory over it. Get motivated. Why? Because sinful desires wage war against your soul. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You're crippled spiritually as long as you are indulging yourself in sinful desires. So there is some real personal motivation to get victory over your flesh because you're hurting yourself. Get help. Come to Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night. Get into a support group. Go see a counselor. But decide today to do something about it. God has given you every single thing you need to live a godly, self-controlled life. And he gives us power for victory through the Holy Spirit. So decide today. Okay, drawing a line in the sand, no more, I'm getting help. And you know what? Most of us heal in community. You try to do it on your own, success rate is, get into some community, the success rate, it grows. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, so we're living in the fishbowl, and the unbelieving world is watching us. So we, Christians, should not be the drunkards and the gluttons and the porn addicts, okay? Our victory over these addictions is our testimony of God's power in our lives. That's a testimony that world wants to see. For the sake of Christ and his kingdom, and for the sake of the unbelieving world watching us, we are to live honorably, above reproach. So that no one can point a finger at us and say, look how messed up they are. Why would I want to be a Christian? Our healthy, wholesome, godly, self-controlled lives should stop all slander. We don't want to give our pagan neighbors any reason to discredit Christ or the gospel. But you know what? It's not just our bodies, how we handle our own bodies. That's not all that's being watched. Our conduct in our community is also very important. We are to submit to every human institution, from the king or emperor, or in our case, the prime minister, right on down to the judges and the police. The great theologian Augustine said that government is a necessary evil and that it is necessary because of evil. Our text today says that the emperor appoints governors to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. There's a godly purpose for government. Did you know that? In fact, God has placed the very individuals who are serving in our governments today. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." That's the Bible, that's not me, okay? Does that mean that all governments are honest and honorable and godly? No, sadly, no. But they do still serve a purpose, and we should submit to them. There has never been a perfect government, nor will there ever be a perfect government, because government is made up of sinful people. But they still maintain order in our society. You may not have the same political views as some of the politicians in power, and that's okay. You still have to submit. In the original Greek, the word submit is a military term, meaning to arrange, as in troop divisions, in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating. That's what we're called to do, fall into line, give in, and cooperate with our government. We should not be seen to slander, disrespect, or rebel against them. Did you hear me? We Christians should not be seen to slander, disrespect, or rebel against the government. Any government is better than no government. Did you know that? I watched a documentary a while ago about the second Woodstock Festival held in 1994. So the first Woodstock Festival was in 1969. It was this big hippie rock festival, peace, love, and all that stuff. And then in 1994, they thought, oh, let's do it again. So they planned another one. It was huge. So if you want to see what anarchy looks like, watch that documentary. But be forewarned, there is nudity, mostly from the waist up, but just saying, okay? Oh. What happened at that event was absolute mayhem. The crowd went berserk. They started tearing down all the wooden structures, fences and signs, and lit them all on fire. The fire department was called. They wouldn't come. They said it wasn't safe for the firefighters. The crowd was crazy, okay? The crowds climbed these huge sound towers that they had. I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of people here. They had huge sound towers for the speakers. They climbed the sound towers, toppled them over, destroyed everything. They rolled cars and burnt them. Reminded me of the footage of the riots in Vancouver after that Canucks game in 2011, when storefronts were smashed and the stores were looted. Absolute, uncontrolled mayhem. In the Woodstock documentary, one person they interviewed said it was like Lord of the Flies. Do you remember that novel from high school? Private school boys get marooned on a tropical island, and some try to start to enact some form of government, but no, anarchy ensues and people die. That's what the human race is without government. And so, God establishes governments to keep law and order. You don't have to love or agree with everything the government does, but unless you're being asked to disobey God's laws, you as a Christian should submit to the governing authorities. Do you think that's hard in this day and age? Some of you are like, yeah, that's hard. I can't do that. Well, let me tell you about the political climate in the first century. Nero was the emperor, and he was a horribly cruel man. In his personal life, he murdered his own mother. At the age of 24, Nero divorced his first wife, banished her, ordered her bound with her wrists slit, and had her suffocated in a steam bath. He received her decapitated head when it was delivered to his court. He also murdered his second wife by kicking her in the belly when she was pregnant. Okay, nice guy, right? Nero, bad guy. In his public life, Nero had been accused of starting the Great Fire in Rome in 64 AD. They accused him, they said he started the fire so that he could bypass the Senate and rebuild Rome to his liking. But Nero, he decided to accuse the Christians of starting that big fire. He fed them to the lions at the gladiator games. He would have them wrapped in the skins of wild animals and have dogs attack them. These are the Christians. He had the Christians crucified. And it said that at his garden parties and at chariot races in the evening, he would cover Christians with tar and light them on fire like human torches to illuminate the evening. These were the things that were going on in the first century. And still, Peter instructed the Christians to submit to the governing authorities. Now, if you passionately disagree with what our current government is doing, go ahead, run for office, or support someone, a candidate that you agree with. But work within the system, not against it. To the watching pagan world, Christians should not be seen as scrappers, as rebels, or resistors. We are to be model citizens, abiding by the law, paying our taxes, and following all the rules. All the rules. When we do this, Peter says it silences the accusations of foolish people. In the first century, Christians were accused of being rebels because they called Jesus king instead of the emperor. They were called atheists, if you can believe it, because they rejected the Roman gods. And they were also called cannibals because they spoke of eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ. Foolish accusations. Today, Christians are called homophobes, transphobes, and haters. We want to silence those foolish accusations by our honorable conduct. Let me tell you what happened in my own family. Last year, my son, foolishly, posted on social media something about wholesome children's programming, TV programming, because he was concerned about the content in some children's programming aimed at toddlers, okay? And the content had to do with sexual orientation and gender issues. Well, the reaction in my family was volatile. Two young adult relatives saw my son as a hater. And then there I go trying to defend my son. Bad idea. I was seen as the enemy as well. We were unfriended. We were slandered. We were canceled, hated, whatever you want to call it. But my son and I did not retaliate. You know, he just removed a the post. And we just kind of sunk back into the background. But then, this year, the father of one of those young adults that was so angry with us, her father passed away this year. So Eugene, my husband, and my mom and I traveled up north, a couple day drive, you know, to get there, and we went to the funeral. We were three of the only five people in our family that went to that funeral, okay? We were three out of five at that funeral, and guess what? My cousin's daughter, who had unfriended me, has now friended me again. Our good conduct, not to toot our own horn or anything, but our act of sacrificial love was able to silence the foolish accusations. There is a purpose in how we behave. We want to show the love of Christ, and we want to show the self-control of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, so that unbelievers will see our good works and glorify God. Okay, so near the end of our passage today, there's this weird sentence in verse 16. It says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves." On the one hand, we're to live as free people. Woohoo, we're free. But in the next breath, it tells us to live as God's slaves. Well, you know what? As Christians, we have been set free from so much. We're free from sin and death. Even though we have all sinned and we continue to sin, we are no longer culpable for our sins. We're free. Woohoo! Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for all our sins, and we're free from the wages of sin, which is death. We're free. We're also free from the bondage of sin. We have been given power in the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation. That's real freedom. You know, the world sees freedom as complete autonomy. But you know what? There is no such thing. There is no such thing as autonomy. As the old Bob Dylan song says, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And if you have to serve someone, I'd choose to serve the master of the universe, who is all-powerful, all-loving, and all-good. That service I can sign up for. Here's an illustration. I'm retired, so I'm free from having to go to work every day. Woohoo! I'm free! But does that mean that I sit at home and eat bonbons all day long? No, that would actually be destructive. Doing what I want when I want doesn't make me happy. I've learned that time and again. Doing what I want when I want does not make us happy. Makes me selfish and miserable. But now I'm free to serve the church. I'm free to care for my aging mother. And I'm free to babysit my grandbabies. And that brings me real joy. All those things bring me real joy. I'm not free to be self-indulgent. I'm free to do good works. And that brings me joy. So Peter sums up this passage with four directives. Show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. That means the people that are living in tents, okay? The people on the street begging. It means the people whose political views you do not agree with. Everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Great illustration was our CR conference yesterday. All these people from around the province and outside the province I'd never met before, but love Those are my brothers and sisters. They're my peeps. They're my brothers and sisters. And you know what? You can go to any church around the world, and you will find brothers and sisters who love you. So love the body of Christ. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Live in awe of his majesty, his power, and his wisdom, and pay him the reverence he's due. Fear God. And honor the emperor, not necessarily for the person, but for the office. Keeping law and order in society. Why? Why do we do all these things? Because in doing these things, we glorify God. God has said, this is how I want you to glorify me. So that's how we will glorify him. We bring honor to God in front of the watching eye of the pagan world. And our good works will nullify the foolish slander of Christians and hopefully will bring some to faith in Christ. Our conduct is our testimony. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to glorify you in all that we do. We know that the unbelieving world is watching us, and we don't want anything we do or say to lead people away from you. So help us, Lord, to live beautiful, self-controlled, submissive lives so that we are above reproach, so that no one will be able to discredit Jesus or the gospel. Instead, may our Christ-like behavior draw people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.